like, I do have a desire to be perceived as attractive.
Okay.
And if I feel like my body is going to facilitate that, then I'm going to put it out there. And I find it hard when people say that they like gym, because it isn't a likable experience.
It's, what does that feel like when you were like 17, 18, like being the skinny one?
It's just comments. It's just feeling like you're not enough.
Right.
Yeah, feeling like you're not enough, or that like it's just a flaw. That's like a marker on your desirability.
Okay.
Yeah, that was difficult. I don't think I fully took in how insecure I was about it. Like, I think there's levels to insecurity. Mm. You think it's for girls, and the thing is, you will say that it is for girls. That's what is safe to vocalize.
Right.
But actually, it's everyone. Like, you don't even want to be skinnier than your boys.
Right.
Like, a lot of gym culture is men competing with men.
Okay.
Like, you trying to look hencher than the next guy.
Yeah.
But people won't vocalize that because that makes you seem really insecure. Right?
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. It's me, Ron with Rose, your mental health expert, bringing you all things fitness, health and weight related. So I always say I've got a special guest because they are all special, but why are you already smiling?
You're about to lead into something nice. You're about to say something nice, and that's not really your bag. God, don't let me distract you, man.
You guys can probably already hear his voice. You probably recognize this voice. This is actually like my second guy, my first animal, because you're a meerkat technically.
Okay, calm. So. Yeah, because I thought you told me it wasn't that kind of pod. I am an animal, but I thought.
Let me overdo it.
Let me know the genre.
Okay,
let me know.
You've longed out the intro now.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, guys, I have got Deji here from Pass the Meerkat. Woo! What? That was the most chaotic intro.
Hey, you started it, man. You started it.
How are you doing, my dear?
I'm good, man. I'm good. A bit flustered. I've been running up and down. Had a busy weekend, but for the most part.
Oh, yeah, I saw you guys. You had your own. You were part of the YouTube for Carnival.
Yeah, we were.
How was that? Big up you.
It was basic, man. It was so good. Honestly, yeah. Free rum, free food, free grapes.
Oh, grapes, love that.
Yeah, it was.
How was Carnival?
It was okay. I feel like I had a different experience from what I normally have.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Carnival in like the last 5 years, but before that, I had never like been on a float or a band or something. So it's always kind of like walking around, looking for the sound systems. But this was different. And it was nice. It was like contained and protected. So it was fun. And then again, it's like we were hosting like 90 creators. So and we had met them before on Thursday because we did some little like a pre-meetup, a live podcast. It was proper sick. Like everybody got turned. Like the alcohol was flowing. Mm-hmm. You wanted to rest, you can go onto the bus
and take a nap.
Exactly. Not a nap, but you know, like you could stand still for a bit and then start to walk and get your steps in again. So
I love that. So I'm really happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Are you really? You're just saying that.
Yeah. I remember the way you were looking in my eyes when you invited me.
I just knew this guy was gonna do something.
It was very sincere. It was like,
what, I was pleading with you.
No, like it was like,
are you trying to say I was begging you?
No, you weren't begging, but I don't really get to see you outside of that, like, because you're a bit of a comedian, you're a bit of a clown, and I'm somebody who's very serious. I don't really like making jokes. I'm a very down to earth person. So yeah, when you came to say it to me, I was like, okay, you're being serious, you actually want me to come on your pod. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
I just can't believe this guy just called me a clown on my own podcast. Okay, all right. No, but it was nice because, okay, right, for context, Deji's a mutual friend.
We were out in Marrakesh in a villa, me and Rose,
for my friend's 30th birthday.
Oh yeah.
We weren't just in the villa. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't lie though. I didn't tell no lies.
Yeah, okay. But you see your storytelling. You're already starting. We haven't even landed yet. And I think we were like, remember it was the first night that we were all at the pool party. We just like had a random pool party. And I think we're just talking about, I was asking you questions about your animation for like your podcast. And then I think I just asked, like, would you come on? You're like, yeah, sure. I was like, oh, that was easy. Because you know that when you see someone like a big podcast and stuff, you just feel like, oh, I've got a good view management. I've got a...
Yeah,
yeah. So you're just all like, yeah, I'll come. And I was like, oh.
Nah, we're not that big. And people like to pretend they're bigger than they are. Like, you are big, but you can spare time to do a podcast. Yeah. And I like you, so I was always going to do it.
Oh, thanks, Deji. That's the nicest thing you've ever said.
That's not the nicest thing I've ever said.
No, it's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
No, it's not. I said earlier, I like your crepes.
You guys, did you look at you.
Okay, edit that out. Edit it out. My bad. My bad. My bad.
Why are you lying?
My bad. Anyway. My bad. My bad.
I'm not editing that. This guy just lying in 4K. But anyways, that was like a long intro. But how would you introduce yourself? Because I would say like Deji, Pastor Maycat. Like I know you're a mental health like specialist as well. Like what's your like profile thing that you would for yourself?
I would say I am a content creator, podcaster, producer, sound engineer, mental health practitioner is what I'm going with at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just a creative man.
Love that.
Just a creative, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for being at the Weight of It podcast. So obviously this is going to be, have you had a conversation about like fitness and weight and stuff on any other podcast?
Yeah, we've had like a gym episode, like a couple gym episodes. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into that in today's episode. I have a question that I want to ask you. So I know you're a bit of a storyteller and you yap bear already. It's only been like 10 minutes.
You said yap. I said yap bear.
What have you been talking about the last 10 minutes?
I know, that's so true.
So I want to know, what's the funniest thing that's happened to you at the gym?
The funniest thing that's happened to me at the gym, I think I've told a story on the pod, but not properly.
Okay, tell it properly here.
Yeah. So obviously, like, I'm a gym guy, but I'm not like one of those gym guys that go all out or do the research or have like a proper routine or do the food and the diet. But I do like to try new things. And I remember like I was in the gym, I was trying to like take it to the next level. So I did some research on like what gym workouts could I do, and I see this thing like a Bosnian deadlift or a Bosnian pyramid. You know, like the Bosnian, you know, like the Eastern Europeans, they love gym. So I just, they just put Bosnian on the front of it, the Bosnian pyramid. I was like, the pyramids are in Egypt, but yeah, the Bosnian pyramid. So basically the workout was, so what they call a pyramid in gym is when you go, like you start with light weights and you're doing loads of reps and then you go up to higher weights.
Oh, okay, got
and then you.
You
do smaller reps. That's where the pyramid thing comes from. So it gets thinner but it goes down. So they was like, look, to do this workout you need like four sets of dumbbells.
Yeah.
So I've gone to do like, I've seen a couple Bosnians in the gym, I want to be Bosnian. So I go to do that workout and I have like bare dumbbells around me. I have like the 8 kgs, the 10 kgs, the 12 kgs, and they're all around me. So then this girl is like, she wants to use one of the dumbbells, and she's obviously looking for the dumbbells that I'm lifting because we're the same weight. So then she sees me with all the dumbbells. She's like, are you using all of those? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing the Bosnian pyramid. You know when you got to say the terminology? I was like, yeah, I'm doing the Bosnian pyramid. She was like, okay, like what the hell? Yeah. Like, she's like, you're using all of them weights. And I was like, yes, I'm doing the Bosnian pyramid. And then she's just like, oh, she cut her eyes or something. I was like, what? If I chuck this dumbbell at your head right now, bro, you will collapse. So yeah, that's like the craziest thing that's happened.
You even had
to say
Bosnian pyramid out loud.
Yeah, I
have never heard this term.
Because I thought, well, if you go on Google like workouts, they've got like workouts that are like Bosnian pyramid or the Russian deadlift.
Yeah,
or
I've heard of the Russian. Is it Romanian?
Romanian deadlift or something like that, It's like a workout and then the European country at the front of it. That's
true.
A workout.
Bulgarian split squats. Oh my God, it's true.
Exactly.
It checks out.
I told you.
Okay. Yeah. No, that is funny. Wow. Yeah. So did you give her the weight in the end?
No, I
finished your pyramid.
I needed to do, you can't just say pyramid because then people are going to be thinking of Egypt. You have to say Bosnian pyramid. Okay, don't just say pyramid.
Well, guys, if you're listening, make sure to try Bosnian pyramid.
Yeah, Google it. Bosnian pyramid.
Okay, cool. And a question I ask every single person that comes onto the podcast is, what weight are they carrying? And when I ask this question, it doesn't have to be like, you know, something to do with fitness and health. It might be career, it might be to do with relationships or anything really, but what weight do you feel like you are carrying at the moment?
This is actually kind of a new one, to be honest. I think just expectation, as in like in the last year, obviously the pod started doing really well, and then like what I do within the pod has started doing really well as well. So that has built like now expectation of me delivering consistently, like having to be consistently funny, being known as that person, and then people trying to like, well, me and people trying to push me into other spaces, like the stand-up stuff, the writing stuff and all of that.
Really?
So, yeah, it's just expectation now because it's like people, it's like so many people, like millions of people now, hundreds of thousands of people think I'm good at this one thing.
Right.
And that when I do this one thing, that it's going to, like, I'm just going to ace it.
Yeah.
But you still have to respect, like, the art of, like, doing like stand up or writing a script or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can't just assume just because you're doing it in this raw format on the pod,
yeah,
that you're gonna be sick when you do it. I will be sick, to be honest, but
amen.
Yeah, there's, I trust just you that, to be that expectation. So,
do you know what? It's so funny you say stand up comedy. Do you remember, I think I said this to you in my coach, I never thought you were that funny. I just thought you could tell a good story. I know, I didn't think he was that funny. I felt like okay, yeah, but it was a good story. But like, like, do you know what I mean? Like, knock knock joke funny.
Mm.
I didn't think you were that kind of funny. But then I think by the end of the trip, I was like, oh, wait, he's actually funny. So yeah. I think stand-up comedy makes sense now. I wouldn't have agreed if we spoke.
Yeah, I want to take a couple steps back about what you said about you thought I wasn't funny.
Like, no, I'll be so real. I didn't. Like, it was like, you know, someone could tell a good story, but I didn't think you were like, the way you just speak is just funny.
Yeah, you said that already. Let me take you back. Why would you not think that I'm funny?
I just didn't think you were that funny. I thought like he knows how to, like, see how when you came in and you tried to lie a minute ago and say like, oh, you complimented my shoes or something like that.
Yeah, well,
you just know how to, you got the, you know what it is? Gift of the gab. That's what I would say, you got the gift of the gab. So I thought, like, when I would see clips of your TikTok, I'd be like, he's got the gift of the gab and making it like, hee hee ha ha. But now I'm like, oh, he's actually funny. So I'm, either this is not a dig, I'm getting somewhere. I'm trying to say that now you saying you want to go into stand-up comedy, it's like, oh yeah, you should do that.
So to just, because we need to erase everything you said. No. Am I now?
I was just trying to like also say that I've seen the growth from you being like,
I don't like growth. I don't like growth.
Oh yeah, you could do stand up comedy for real.
I don't like the growth because growth reminds me of when I was in third set and then I moved to second set and they're talking to me like I'm in first set. So don't do that.
No, I'm just saying like,
am I one of the funniest person people you know? Am I the funniest person you know?
But you already know what I'm going to say to that. I think I am the funniest person.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Yeah. Well. You think you're funny.
I think I'm really funny. Okay, do you... Okay, and I think I asked you, like, do you
we
not
are,
think funny?
We are Chev as well.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, you're both
Chev,
funny.
Yeah, but Chev also... Sorry, Chev, if you listen, like, Chev's not that funny. So I don't feel... Actually, no, and I say this all the time, Chev's not funny. But I think I'm actually, like, funny. I don't think Chev, no, Chev's she's got funny over the years, but...
Growth again. She thinks she's Mr. Miyagi. Like, she's like here teaching everybody.
But anyways... Yeah, anyway, let's move on. But yeah, no, all the best with the stand-up. I will buy a ticket.
You will.
Come see, yeah. Because you're funny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll be laughing, honestly.
Yeah. No, I'd be laughing. You're funny, for sure. I can test that. Cool. So let's talk about fitness. So where would you say it all started? Like, how did it start? What made you want to start, like, your fitness journey? And what did that look like at the time?
I think I had the typical male fitness experience where you get to college or uni around about that time. So it's like 16, 17, 18. You start becoming more conscious of your appearance and particularly your body.
Right.
And
what does that look like? Because obviously this is all going to be news to me because I'm obviously a girl.
Yeah.
So how do you become conscious of it? Because I think with girls, it's like, let's say you're in the changing rooms or you're like, you're comparing the size. I don't know. It sounds so like childish, but like, what bra size you have with enough for a girl. Like, do you know what I mean? It'll be little things like that. Like, what does it look like for a guy?
I think around 18, society has this thing where, okay, you're a man now. What does it mean to be a man? Like, people stop calling you boy and they start calling you man. And even, like, legally, like, when you step from 17 to 18, there are different legal implications. So I say that to say everything around you is telling you that you're now a man.
Right.
I think that's maybe a flawed concept being in like my 30s now. But at the time, that's what was happening. It's like, actually, you're a man. You're supposed to have, what are you supposed to have as a man? You're supposed to have facial hair. You're supposed to have a beard. You're supposed to look like, you're supposed to look strong.
Yeah.
So I think that happens a lot. Like, even subconsciously, I think it happens a lot. Like, we're fed that kind of, we're primed to think like that.
Yeah.
And then I think a huge catalyst for me was, again, in my college, we actually had a gym in the college.
Yeah.
In my school, we didn't have a gym, but in the college, we had like a weights gym. And then that's where you would actually see the second years or the people that have been there for a while, they looked physically different from us that had just come from secondary school. So then you start lusting, you start wanting for that because you know that they're seen as more desirable or more manly to girls, but then also to other guys as well, just to society in general. Okay. So I think that happens a lot for a lot of men. And yeah, that's my story. Like, I went to college. Mm-hmm. I started being around people that were actually in the gym.
Yeah.
And they looked different from me. Right. I think my situation was probably compounded by the fact that I've always been really skinny anyway.
Okay.
So I guess somebody that's average weight might get away with not going gym when they're 16, 17, 18. But yeah, me, like, I looked physically skinnier than other people.
Okay.
So then it's like a combination of the aesthetic,
yeah,
but then also the desire to be stronger,
right,
just in case you need to get into some passel or whatever. So yeah. Okay. Hey, it happens. Hey, it happens, man.
I didn't expect that last bit.
Yeah.
So just want to go back to that being skinny bit. Like, what does that, was that an insecurity? What does that feel like when you were like 17, 18, like being the skinny one? And it sounds like you were always the skinny one. So what was that like?
Yeah, that was difficult. I don't think I fully took in how insecure I was about it. Like, there's levels to insecurity.
Mm, there is, yeah.
The thing with being skinny is most of the time it's your legs that people will comment on, like, oh, your legs look really skinny. And I hated that. I hated those kind of comments, but it wouldn't drive me to the point where I'm not going to play football.
Okay.
Like, maybe I would be more inclined to wear baggy clothes, which was in fashion around the time anyway.
Yeah.
And I remember a resistance to moving to, like, towards skinny clothes because I looked really skinny.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, it's just comments. It's just feeling like you're not enough.
Right.
Yeah, feeling like you're not enough, or that, like, it's just a flaw. That's like a marker on your desirability.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you talk about desirability, are we talking specifically for girls?
You think it's for girls. And right. And the thing is, you will say that it is for girls. That's what is safe to vocalize.
Right.
But actually, it's everyone. Like, you don't even want to be skinnier than your boys.
Right.
Like, a lot of gym culture is men competing with men.
Okay.
Like, you trying to look hencher than the next guy.
Yeah.
But people won't vocalize that because that makes you seem really insecure. And
okay.
So, but yeah, it was both. Like, I didn't want to be around people that looked bigger than me physically. Mm-hmm. And maybe they feel like they're stronger than me, or they can, like, chief me up or whatever. And then also with girls as well. Yeah, like, girls liked bigger guys.
Yeah.
They didn't like skinny guys. I think that maybe came into fashion a bit later. But at the time, it was like, nah, the hencher you are, the better.
Right. So the motivation primarily was to just be more desirable, I guess, across the board.
Across the board, yeah, 100%. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you start going gym with people who already go in gym. And so when you were doing it, did you get to a point where you actually liked it? Or was it still like, I just got to pump this weight because I got to look big. I don't want to look skinny anymore.
Yeah. I find it hard when people say that they like gym, because it isn't a likable experience. It's like drinking alcohol. Like, when people say they like the taste of alcohol, you can't like the taste of alcohol because it's alcohol. It has stuff that your body doesn't even want in it.
Right.
And it doesn't taste nice. Yeah. Like, it's bitter. Like, you can try to make it taste as nice as you want, but it still isn't going to be better than something that doesn't have alcohol. But they genuinely believe they like the taste of alcohol, but really they like the effect.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that their brain hasn't made that link, that the effect has now latched on to the actual, like, sensation that they can't separate the two.
Okay, mental health practitioner coming through.
Well,
that's a word. Okay.
Yeah, so like, I did start to like it, but I liked the results. So I feel like when I'm in pain, you can't really like being in pain or your body aching or actually pushing the weight because it's painful. But you like what you perceive it's doing to you.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then how, I'm assuming, how people responded to you.
Exactly, yeah.
When you started to see.
100%. Like, you see, I'm very lucky in that, although I'm slim, like, I'm very athletic. So, like, I have a good percentage of, like, muscle to fat.
Okay.
So when I started going gym, like, the results were, like, very quick. Like, you could see the definition very, very quickly. I didn't have fat to cover up the muscle, basically. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So yeah, then when you see, when you get that, even though I was still slimmer than everyone, like, you could see it straight away. Like, guys will be talking to you saying, like, oh yeah, you're ripped. That's the word they use.
Do boys actually compliment each other 100%, like this?
100%, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. You're ripped. And girls will be saying the same thing, like, oh, you're ripped.
You're ripped. Ripped.
So yeah.
Wow, I haven't heard ripped. It's quite an old school term.
It is old school, yeah.
You are quite old.
Well, yeah, at the time they were using ripped, okay? They were using ripped at the time. So yeah. So yeah, that was it. And it was lit. Like you, it actually makes you feel, compliments make you feel good.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
want that. And then the more you do it, the more yeah. compliments you get, basically. Okay. The more ripped you are. So yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then let's fast forward a little bit, I guess, to today, because you're like 38, 39.
Man says 38, 39. Am I 38, 39? Does my skin look like... How do I break the faux fool? Does my skin look like I'm 38 or 39? No, I've never smoked. No, I've never smoked. Yes, I do have a skincare routine.
No, how old are you though? I swear you're actually like 36 though.
No, I'm not 36. I'm early 30s.
Just say your age.
Early 30s, 32. I'm 32.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not old, old.
Okay, I mean 36, like if you, that's fine, like.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's actually fine being 36.
Yeah, because yeah. you'll but get yeah. there as well at one point.
But 36. Yeah, I'm 30.
But anyways, why did I bring up your age again, or did I just want everyone to know?
It's just
your
shade,
age?
Isn't it? It's just shade. Is that this is the shade segment you said?
No. So anyway, yeah, to fast forward, so we know how it started. Your journey started. Where would you say you are now? Like, do you feel like your motivations are still the same? Like, do you feel like you still think you are, quote unquote, the skinny one? Yeah, where would you say you sit on all of that?
Yeah, definitely still feel like the slim one, the skinny mm-hmm. one. But I love it so much. Like, mm-hmm. I think a combination of things have just made me more comfortable. And I good. Wish I could have arrived at this destination earlier. I think good. One big thing is obviously, like, the trends. Like, the trends move on. Like,
yeah.
So skinny people, slim people are more in fashion now mm-hmm. than... Like, you know, the big hench guys and yeah. all of that. Like, you see more people saying that, oh, like, I don't want a guy that's bare hench. And you see on, like, social media where they have that A, B, C, D.
Oh, yeah. I should know the post you're talking about. Yeah.
And you got all the muscles and they're getting fat. A, B, C, D. Bigger, bigger, bigger. And them girls, you see most of the commentary is around, like, yeah, girls saying that, no, I would hate to have, like, a like a guy that's just bare muscly, even though he's putting the most work in gym. Mm. He definitely can lift the most. But now that isn't as desirable. So yeah, I think just being slimmer now has become desirable, and then that obviously helped me and yeah. me navigating stuff socially. And then yeah, like I got to a stage where like you've had enough compliments that you just know your body's nice. You know what it is. You know that you don't want to go too hard in gym because you're just not motivated like that. Mm-hmm. But you know that you can go every January. I can go for about 4 or 5 months. And I'll be holiday ready. So wow. Yeah, like I'm easy. So.
And so you mentioned that, like, I guess being skinny is kind of back in fashion. So do you think if it wasn't and it was still like got the girlies wanted and muscly guy, do you reckon you'd still have the same insecurities you had when you were younger?
Yeah, not to the same extent, but it would. Again, I feel like the insecurity is on a spectrum rather right. than just an on and off sort of thing. But yeah. So yeah, not to the same level as I had when I was a kid, because I've matured. I'm more
yeah.
psychologically resilient anyway against yeah. insecurities. But yeah, 100%. Like, society plays a huge factor. Like, yeah. same thing with beards and facial hair. There was yeah. a time where it's like everybody wanted to have a beard, and then like that made me feel a bit insecure. And then now it's kind of like, yeah, like actually I like the kind of clean cut sort of thing. So mm-hmm.
good. So, yeah. I'm loving the confidence.
It works. Yeah. But you have to be mindful, me saying that, the trend can shift at any time.
Yeah, literally, like tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah.
Wake
like,
up.
100%. Like,
yeah, you're not in fashion.
Like, something, hench guys could be come back in fashion, and yeah. then I'm not it. Light-skinned people could be in fashion. Beards could be in fashion. Like, anything can come in and yeah. out of fashion. It's weird.
It's crazy, though, that, like, things that we just have in life, like, things you can't always change can just be a fashion statement.
Exactly, 100%.
So, obviously, now... You said you're 32 mm-hmm. and you've got your podcast
mm-hmm.
and you're in the public eye. Like, you spoke about, you went carnival, you had the YouTube creator stuff, yeah, which yeah. is really great. Well done to you guys for that. How does it feel like now being in the public eye and, you know, you're still navigating your fitness journey? You're not, obviously, you're not insecure about these things anymore, but like you said, it's layered.
Yeah.
You know? How would, do you think that has any impact on you at all, like being in the public eye and how you look?
Yeah, 100%. Like, very, very mindful that, and you can even see in the commentary with what I do, although the core thing is being funny, there's some people that like it more because they're attracted to me.
Okay.
There's some people that like it more because of my gesticulation. There's going to be some people that like it more because I'm Nigerian.
Okay.
So all of these variables add to how good people perceive you are.
And do you think, sorry to interrupt you, because you guys had the animation before, so people didn't see you. So do you feel like since you guys have removed the animation aspect, it's like people are looking at you?
Yeah, they like us more. It's right. Like they like us more. At least you feel it more. Like, yeah. You have to remember, like, liking the animation is like liking the script writer or Family Guy. Like, you don't fall in love with the person that writes the script for Bugs Bunny. Mm. You fall in love with Bugs Bunny. Mm. You don't even know who that person is. Half the time, you don't know who the voiceover actor is. You fall in love with the image. That's mm-hmm. what's happening, basically. The image and then the personality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely, definitely feeling it more. And to go back to your first question, like, you could probably see from my Instagram profile, my body has always been a huge part of my brand.
Oh, okay.
It always kind of has added, or I felt like it's added to my brand.
Okay.
So, like, some guys won't do this. Like, some guys won't go abroad and take topless pictures.
Okay,
or
yeah, that's your bag.
Yeah. Like, I'm comfy with doing that, and I like doing that. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's giving me results, and it adds to a certain kind of brand mm-hmm. that I want to portray. So,
what is that brand?
It's just like the cool, slim. Like, you just want to, I think the best way to describe it is just cool. Cool, creative, and then intelligent. That's it. And then attractive as well. Like, I think everybody want, like, I do have a desire to be perceived as attractive.
Okay.
And if I feel like my body is going to facilitate that, then, yeah. I'm going to put it out there. And obviously, that's the feedback that I've got from the world. Like, when I'm topless in Afro Nation or wherever, that's the feedback that I get, that, oh, you got a nice body, blah, 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 blah.
And what does that do for you? Because I also feel like sometimes, obviously, I'm happy how, like, honest you're being about it, but you know sometimes, like, people don't want to admit, like, no, I want people to think I look nice. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We always like, oh, I want to look good, but you don't act like, the truth is you want other people. To, yeah, do you know 100%. What I mean? You can look good till kingdom come, but you want somebody else to validate you, and no one really likes to admit that. And I think if we think about fitness and weight and all of that, the truth is everyone is doing what they're doing to, because they want people to find them attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Exactly, yeah. We just need to get over that stigma that it is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think, even with me, I it's all about my happiness. I think everything is all about happiness and mm-hmm. how confidence aids happiness. Mm-hmm. But the way I feel about myself and the way other people feel about me, or the way I think other people feel about me, they aren't interdependent. So, like, when the more you hear that you're beautiful, the more you start to believe you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I think different people have different levels of resilience. So, good for you if you don't need a compliment once a day to feel like you're beautiful on that day.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But that isn't most people's story.
Yeah.
So, we actually need that. The feedback from the world is so important. Everything is just defined in comparison.
Yeah.
That means, like, you can think you're as fast as you want to think, but when you get into a classroom of fast people, people that are getting 9 seconds, you're not fast.
Yeah.
You're slow, and the world will perceive you as slow.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah.
So this leads into my next question. Obviously, you did start off by saying you're a mental health practitioner,
mm-hmm.
and, like, what's your views around, you know, your journey? Like, think about from, like, the insecurity when you were younger to now actually, I guess, wanting some sort of validation with regards to how your body looks. From a mental health aspect, how would you describe this experience? Do you think it's good for your mental health? Do you think it impacts your mental health negatively at sometimes? Like, what would you say about that?
I would say I think everybody needs to do whatever they can to first build up their resilience. So try to make yourself resistant or numb, or at least less sensitive to external validation, to the feedback you're getting from the world. This is what I'll say to my child. Let's do things to make yourself less sensitive to what you're seeing in the world. Let's do stuff to just build your confidence. I'd rather you be overconfident than insecure. So let's do some things to do that. At the same time, be mindful that the world is the world,
right,
and that feedback does matter, and feedback does influence the way you think about yourself. So with that being said, do whatever you can without going too extreme to make yourself as desirable to the world. Put yourself in a position to get good feedback rather than bad feedback.
Yeah.
So that's a fancy way of me saying, yeah, go to the gym. Like, if you're skinny, like, go to the gym.
Yeah.
If you're...
But then, sorry to interrupt, but, like, what about... So, the world wants somebody that's, like, lean or a bit muscly. We're saying go to the gym, but somebody's happy in their skinniness. So, what would you tell to somebody like that? Because there are men who are really skinny. They don't have a desire for the gym, but the world is telling them you need to bang gym.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's what I was saying. That's why that first part is so important, the part about building resilience. Mm-hmm. If you are the kind of person that doesn't need a compliment, and that's genuinely...
Yeah.
The way you feel, like, you're not just saying that because you're on camera.
Yeah.
Like, you genuinely don't need feedback from the world
yeah.
to feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I rate that.
Yeah.
I hope I get there. That's the aim, to get to become as numb to the world and the feedback to the world as possible. I think I have a friend like that in the group where he cares less about what other people think than the rest of us, and he's happier for it.
Mm.
Like, he goes out not thinking about how he looks. He goes out thinking about comfort.
Right.
Before I came here, I asked you, are my crepes going to be on camera?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't want those crepes on camera, but they're my most comfortable crepes.
Yeah.
So, like, I would love to be in a position where that's me. So if that's you, I rate it. Don't even, like, don't even listen to the second part of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I know from what I've seen is most people aren't like that. I would maybe argue nobody's like that. Nobody's the kind of person that doesn't need feedback from the world, or the feedback from the world doesn't shape their image of themselves.
Yeah.
So if the feedback from the world does shape your image of yourself, then again, at risk against it, because don't do anything too extreme.
Yeah.
But do what you can to make yourself
get
better feedback. That's what I would say.
And what do you think stops you, though, from embracing that comfort? Like, use the shoes example.
Mm.
Obviously, your shoes are not on camera, but you're like, if they were, you would want, like, what stops you from just doing it because it's what you want to do, as opposed to what the world says?
It literally, again, it goes back to the feedback. Like, I personally...
You personally need that feedback.
Yeah, it's like, I personally don't care if these crepes are on camera.
Yeah.
I don't, like, maybe it doesn't look as good on camera, but I don't care. Like, for the comfort, I'll have it. What I'm more worried about is what other people are going to say. So that's it. Like, that feedback from the world plays such a huge role in our lives. And I'm probably one of the more secure, confident people out there in this world. Like, that's what people know me as. So the fact that I can vocalize it lets you know that the vast majority of people think in that way.
Yeah. So it sounds shocking hearing from you, but what you're trying to say is that a lot of people think
that it's normal, and that's another thing we need to, the stigma of that is another thing we need to defeat. That I think everybody would be a bit more comfortable if everybody knew that everybody is struggling with insecurity.
Yeah,
everybody's thinking about something. Your thing might not be your body, but it might be your fashion sense, or it might be your face, or it might be your skin. Like, everybody's got something that they're insecure about. So I think if the world just knew that, named it and acknowledged it, then we would care a lot less about the feedback we're getting from the world. That's what we need to try and suppress.
Yeah.
How powerful that feedback is.
Yeah.
But I think that's a journey that you go on. Like,
And I think also, like, silencing it at times. I think the feedback isn't needed all the time.
All the time.
100%. Do you get what I mean? There are times where I know that, like, I've gone out without makeup and I couldn't care less. I like my skin anyways, but I don't care what anyone's feedback is. But there's some days, if I didn't have makeup, I'd be like, I kind of wish I put a bit of an eyelash or an eyebrow. So it's like, it's also swings and roundabouts, because it's not like every single day you care for the validation or you ever, but there are certain situations where you do. Hence why I come to the studio with a full face of makeup, like, for a reason. Like, I want to be perceived as, like, she's cute. You know what I mean? But I'm sure I'll get to a point where I'm like, I can't keep putting makeup every day. I already know. Yeah. It's pending.
Exactly.
So I guess it's like, just once again, being honest with yourself, and you just, I guess, accepting. I feel like that's one of the key words as well, accepting.
Exactly, yeah. And that acceptance sometimes comes from, like, a build-up of, like, a bank of feedback that you've got. So no one can come up to me now and say, I don't have a nice body, or I'm out of shape. They might genuinely believe that, but that comment to me has no power, because I've got a bank to draw upon where I've got the opposite information coming at me. So, like, I was just thinking, you're a hater. If somebody, like, writes on my story, this guy isn't funny. Like, underneath it, you've got 10,000 comments saying, nah, he's bare funny. So that comment means nothing in the grand scheme of things. It has no power.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't, if I didn't have that bank, then maybe that that piece of feedback that I'm getting has a lot of power and makes me feel a bit insecure.
Yeah. So when I said that you weren't that funny, did that make you feel a bit insecure?
No, again, that's one of those ones where there's a bank to
tell
draw
the truth
on.
if it did. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you the whole truth. Honestly. I'm telling you the truth. I have a bank to draw upon. I like when people say that to me, it's funny because I just think you're lying. That's where my mind.
That confident.
Exactly. It's an actual arrogance where I'm just like, yeah, come on, let's get back to the point. Let's get back to what we're here to do. That was good. That was a good, nice little moment. But let's get back to it. So yeah.
No, I actually hear that when you're so confident in yourself on particular things, there's nothing someone can say about it. It's like, okay,
exactly.
It's actually just even like an opinion at that point. That's what you think. Whatever.
If you was to tell Usain Bolt, you're slow, he would literally start laughing at you.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to start laughing at you because he's proved he's fast. So, yeah, that's what it is, man.
Okay. And, like, what would be your last piece of advice to, like, I don't actually know if men really listen. I see that they do on Spotify, that men be listening sometimes. But let's just say there's some men listening.
They'll be listening in silent. Yeah. In quiet.
Yeah, on the exactly, government yeah. account. To the men that are listening, either openly or secretly, what would your advice be to anyone, I guess, who has been skinny or is still skinny, has had some of the insecurities that you've had, maybe they've grown out of it, but it's still a bit complex and stuff like that. What advice would you have for those people?
Again, like, look, try to get comfortable in your skin. That is such a luxury. If you're comfortable in your skin and you actually like yourself, then cool. I love that the world is in a place now where we're trying to normalize everything. Like, we're trying to dismantle trends in general. There are still trends, but it's like we're trying to make everything acceptable.
Yeah.
Like, all skin tones are acceptable.
Yeah.
All weights are acceptable.
Yeah.
Makeup is acceptable. No makeup is acceptable. All hairstyles are acceptable.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like society is trying to push towards that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lean into that, number one. Try to get comfortable in your skin. But much easier said than done, of course. Do things to improve your position. Like, if you want to look better, then going to the gym will make you look better in some way, shape or form. Like, it's not going to change you from the slimmest guy to the henchest guy, but you will look better and you will get better feedback and you will feel more confident for it.
So
do what you can without, again, I put an asterisk against it, without going too extreme. Like, I'm not a fan of people doing extreme things to change themselves, because again, trends can change and then you want to change again, sort of thing.
Lovely. I feel like I got to see a bit of a wholesome side to you today.
Really?
Yeah, that was quite, like, the last, like, 10 minutes was quite wholesome. I was like, oh, he's a mental health practitioner for real.
Yeah, man. A lot of people say that to me, you know, they're like, but that's an L on your part, not on my part.
What?
Because just because I'm a clown and I make jokes, why can't I also be?
But I didn't say you couldn't be. I just haven't seen the side. That's literally what I said. Cool. I saw another side to you today.
Yeah.
So there's no L on anyone.
You have never seen that side to me because you're also a clown. So when you put two clowns, I'm one of those people that in secondary school, they used to call me a chameleon. Yeah. There was like, and I love this analogy. There was like, when you're around the clowns, when you're in bottom set, you act like you're supposed to be in bottom set. When you're in top set with Fatima and Julian and Muhammad, you will act like you're supposed to be in top set. And he was like, it's a good thing because it means you can adapt, but it's a bad thing because it means you're trying to appease. Wow, I cooked.
Preacher. Hey,
no teacher told me that. I made that up on the...
Hey, and I had a feeling you were literally making that up.
The teacher said something like that, but the way I did that, no way Mr. Sutton's getting the credit from me.
No, but also, can I just make a disclaimer? Because you said that you're trying to put us in the same boat as clowns, but please, I was an intelligent clown because I was in top set for everything. So you keep talking about bottom set. I wasn't in bottom set.
I got moved to bottom set because I was naughty, but I was a top set kid.
Sure.
From Brampton.
Sure. I think we'll wrap the podcast there. No, don't you? This has been a fun conversation, even though you've lied a bit in some of the things you said. I hope the listeners can hear some of the truth and the honesty and wisdom that you did share. Because, you know, you're a good egg. You've got some good advice there.
Thank you.
Obviously, people can find you on,
Instagram, TikTok, either Pastor Meerkat or Deji_Vu. I'm trying to build my personal brand.
Oh, are you? Are you?
Yeah, because I'm trying to leave, like, you know, like Beyonce, Nicole Scherzinger, and Justin Timberlake. That's my kind of bag. I'm being stupid.
Now when your boys hear this,
they know what I think. Michelle knows what I think. Kelly knows what I think.
No, did you get? We had to cut the cameras. No, but guys, this has been a good episode. Follow Deji on everything. Follow me, Run With Fros. Follow me on TikTok, Instagram. Just like Deji, I'm also been trying to build my Run With Fros brand as well. Obviously, I'm not leaving Destiny's Child or anything, but you know, please do follow.
You're on your solo career.
I've been in a solo career from
You're Gwen Stefani.
No, this guy's actually an idiot.
Seriously, what group is she in?
Oh, seriously? Yeah, she was in No Doubt. I'm Christina Milian. She's always been solo, I think.
What?
Yeah, I'll be Christina Milian. But yeah, follow Deji. And I will be back with the next episode coming out soon. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye.